Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for September 29th, 2013. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Early this morning, my son Tate and some friends drove down from the Bay Area last night, and then this morning they went to Yosemite to climb Half Dome. It's a pretty strenuous climb. I've never done it, but I've heard about it. And as you go up Half Dome, the rock, Yosemite National Park, it's made a cable that you could, as you go up, this sort of rock type of steps carved in there. You're not really climbing, but you're walking up, and you could hang on to this cable. Kind of reminded me of how young people go trekking, and I wish I had done more when I was young, but it's much more popular, it seems, nowadays. Our son Tay had gone to Tibet on a spiritual trek. I guess there's a famous route over there. He did that last year. Carry your backpack, and Yosemite is about an hour away to the southern gate from our home here in Coarse Gold, and it's really the premier national park in the national park system, and Half Dome is the most iconic feature. But they also have right next to it is a big, they call it El Capitan, which is, I think it's the largest granite in the world, piece of granite, and so I like to call it the Dharma Rock. And then probably the third most popular scenic site is to go up to Glacier Point, they call it. And in fact, Adrian loves Yosemite, and I guess it's okay to, because I've read about it in the Yosemite information that they put out, that you could scatter your ashes at Glacier Point. Adrian told me that sometimes she thinks that she might consider that. That's a pretty good idea. I might have my ashes scattered up there too, part of it. My main ashes are going to be scattered here at a certain spot on our property, sort of a memorial garden area next to our altar rock, because there's no place like home. And I like the idea of dividing my ashes up. Some of it could be kept in our home altar here, next to my parents' urns, and in the memorial garden area. I think, you know, it's the way the scene is there. There's a boulder, and I could make a little memorial plaque, and there's a natural stone bench there, so my boys could come and they could sit there and look at the memorial plaque. I said, I guess Dad wasn't such a bad guy. But when I think about young people climbing, going to Yosemite, since Yosemite is so close to us, we should utilize the attraction of it. When people come, make a trip to visit Bright Dawn here, they could combine it with a trip to Yosemite, and they could climb Half Dome. There's also a trail that goes up to the top of El Capitan, and a trail that goes up to the Glacier Point. These are the Yosemite three treasures. And it would be a nice attraction, especially for young people, to combine a trip like that and go trekking. And it would be a nice, memorable thing to associate with coming to the Bright Dawn Center and challenging oneself physically by going to Yosemite and going trekking. That was one of my thoughts. And in fact, I read an article once that there was a young man, maybe he was in his late teens, and if he really were physically fit, he did all three in one day, right after another. And he didn't walk, he ran. I can't even imagine ordinary person, even a fit one, young person, doing something like that. But each one of those, if you went on the trek for an ordinary person, it's an all-day thing, and so forth. Well, today's Dharma Glimpse will be given to us by Dorothy Shinyo, who lives in Florida, and she and her husband just completed a lay ministry program in May, and they were part of the LM5 group. So, let's hear from Dorothy Shinyo.
My Dharma Glimpse today is entitled Coffeehouse Listening. The other day I had a two-hour meeting with a friend who had contacted me regarding his real estate needs. We agreed to meet in a local coffeehouse. I came prepared with a file of research and materials that I had gathered to discuss. The meeting, though, turned into a visit that enabled him to share his troubles that were not really related to property with meets and bounds. In listening, as I sipped on my vanilla latte, I realized that while I dislike being a counselor, I am a person who can listen with compassion. Here is a person who needed to share his words, his thoughts, his feelings, and he chose me to be the listener. It was now my choice to become engaged or not. By honoring and accepting that this was a personal meeting with very little business discussed, I put aside my papers, sat back in the chair, and decided to do my best to adjust my mind, my body, and my emotions to listen. At times I felt the need to offer feedback, and yet cautious not to be a psychologist. My Buddhist training was being tested. Can I be here now? This was not my expectation of my designated time. Can I respond with wisdom and not just react? Can I control my words to be true and kind? Can I be mindful and use common sense? Can I give positive energy? Can I listen with a receptive heart? As the time drew to an end, he was very grateful that we had met. We agreed to meet again at a later date to discuss the real estate details that I had prepared. It wasn't until the next day that I realized how grateful he was after I read an email. He described in that email that our time together was incredible and a relieving experience for him. He said my words were more than casual input, and he's not been able to digest everything yet. He ended by thanking me for an amazing 2 hours. Wow, This really humbled me. Most importantly, it taught me that my listening skills were open that day, and I'm grateful. Grateful that my spiritual path has made my senses to everyday life more aware. Maybe just for this meeting, I engaged in meditative living or coffee house listening. My name is Dorothy Merrick. Thank you.
Thank you. I think moments like that, encounters, shows us how we can experience being fully present and open to what's going on. Particularly when you're relating to another person. What could be any moment, whatever we're doing. Turn on our spiritual switch and be really receptive. I think that's it is a tremendous giving and receiving at the same time. Speaking of giving and receiving, last weekend I traveled to Chicago to speak at the Midwest Buddhist Temple, and it was their Ohigan Sunday, and which is a religious holiday in Japanese Buddhism. It's sort of like, I guess, similar to Lent, in that it's a time, spring and autumn equinox time. Length of days and nights are equal, the temperature is temperate, and the tradition started hundreds of years ago that this is a time to really concentrate on one's spiritual growth. And it's one of the major religious holidays, in addition to the major ones associated with Gautama Buddha's life. And also on Saturday, the Midwest Buddhist Temple has a group called the Zen Shin Sangha. Zen meaning meditation, of course, and Shin meaning Shin Buddhism, or Jodo Shinshu, the true Pure Land denomination founded by Shinran Shonin in the 13th century in Japan. And in America, the United States here, the Buddhist Churches of America, they have about maybe 40, 50 temples. A lot of them on the West Coast, but also on the East Coast and scattered in the Midwest too. And Midwest Buddhist Temple is part of this BCA, or Buddhist Churches of America. And their Zen Shin Sangha is kind of unique because Shin Buddhism traditionally is not really, they don't engage in meditation. That's considered sort of a self-power practice, whereas they prefer the other power practice, because Shingon, he experienced 20 years of hard study on Mount Hiei, which is next to Kyoto, Japan, as a monk, and he couldn't get satisfaction. And this was his spiritual realization, that you cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And he met his teacher, Honen, who's the founder of the Pure Land School. And he learned about the Nembutsu, recitation of the name of Amida Buddha, and that we just receive grace. We achieve everything in life as a result of universal compassion in the universe, and we don't have to strive in a self-centered way to make things happen spiritually. We just show our gratitude with our entrusting mind to receive and be open to universal life. Well, I didn't mean to talk about that so much, but the fact that 20, 30 years ago, no Shin Buddhist temple would have meditation. But now they're more open, and they have four more groups that are called Zen/Shin Sanghas. And so this group has a spring and autumn, what they call a mind-body seminar. So I participated in that and gave some Dharma talks on Saturday in addition to the Oigan on Sunday. It was very nice to see the group of people the small sangha, you know, as they sit in meditation and do walking meditation and they do chanting to see, you know, they've been doing this every week. Some of them are regular members of the Zen Shin Sangha, so they know what they're doing. Although it's open, of course, to new members. But just to partake in that atmosphere made me realize how nice it is and the importance of a Sangha. And it gave me a nice feeling. And it reminded me of what I consider one of my personal sacred sounds. You know, sometimes in the Eastern tradition, Om is a sacred sound. Different recitations there. But to me, and I'm smiling when I say this, but that's my sacred sound. I don't know where, when I coined this, but and I related to the three treasures, because the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, each of those three words, the ending sound is so Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. That sound is a special sound. It really makes you feel good down deep. And every time I have that first sip of hot tea or hot sake on a cold wintry day, you say, just naturally you say, Or in a hot summer day, when you have that first sip of cold lemonade or cold beer, you say, That kind of a feeling, that joy deep down in your gut, sort of, where that comes from. So you could relate the three treasures and the sacred sound to every day. Drinking of hot or cold and so forth. And I like that kind of association. As part of the... when I go to Chicago, my sister still lives there. She and her husband, Robert. And my sister, Joyce, is a Chan-O-Yu teacher. Chan-O-Yu is the way of tea. And their group, they're part of the Uyasenke tradition. they had a, what is called Tsukimi. Tsuki is the moon. Mi is to see. Tsukimi means a moon viewing. And it was the harvest moon time. Big old full moon, low to the horizon. And Saturday evening, they had a Tsukimi on the Chicago River. There's a boat company that provides that service for tourists, and so they got one of these, rented one of these boats for this occasion, and it was combined with a surprise 60th birthday for the president, longtime president of the Chanoyu group, and they surprised him. It was the 60th, which in Japanese culture is called Kanreki. And according to the Chinese animal calendar, there are 12 animals for each year. It always goes in the same order. This 2013 year of the snake, and supposedly five elements in Chinese culture, fire, water, wind, and so forth. And so 12 times 5 is 60, and then the cycle starts over again. So the 60th birthday symbolizes starting the cycle over, and meaning you're reborn, you know, and you should start a new life. You should make new plans and be reinvigorated. And I guess maybe in Japanese culture, you know, when you're 60, if you're a family man, you had met your social responsibilities, and you know, you sort of like you retired and you could start new, make new plans. And of course, each one of us, it doesn't have to be chronological age and so forth, but the kind of associations we make should always relate it to ourselves, whether it's religious holidays, a certain cultural observances, to use them as spiritual tools to be inspired for our own spiritual growth. I met a lot of old friends because we were in Chicago for over, well, maybe 20, 25 years before we moved to California here about 5-6 years ago. So when I go back, I see a lot of friends. I met a friend, he's a physician, he works in the emergency department at the Northwestern Hospital downtown. He was part of my father's, who started a meditation group in the 70s. He was part of that early beginnings. And when we were in Chicago, oh, every once in a while he would drop by my home and we would just talk. And he calls, we have been doing Dial the Dharma for many years now, several decades. We started it in the 80s. Both my father and I made some tapes, 1 to 2 minute, very short, sort of like Dial a Prayer, I guess. Dial the Dharma, and we change the tapes daily, and people could call a number and listen to a short Dharma message. And he's been calling for, you know, every day for many years now. So he started to take tea from my sister, she told me that sometimes when he comes for a lesson, he says, yeah, I just, when I was driving, you know, nowadays with cell phones, you could do this. When you're driving around, you just call his dialer Dharma, and then he shares the message. And he's a very sincere tea student. And, of course, tea, the way of tea is heavily influenced. As, you know, a lot of the aesthetic arts, flower and tea and so forth, calligraphy in Japan, has been heavily influenced by Buddhist teachings. And in fact, he made a tatami room in his home, a four-mat tatami mat tea room, meditation room. So that's very nice to see what people are doing and how they're working. I'm just looking at my desk here, and when I received a gift from the Zen Shin Sangha when I was leaving, and it's a Tibetan prayer wheel. It sits on my desk. It's kind of made out of gold plastic, and it's solar powered. And the Tibetan prayer wheel goes around and around. Usually you spin it with your hand. But this one's solar powered. And when I turn my desk lamp on, it starts to rotate. You know, it's about maybe 3-4 inches in diameter. And when I turn my lamp off, it stops moving. So this is kind of a neat companion when I'm sitting at my desk doing Dharma work, and it's keeping me company and make me smile and say, yeah, encouraging me in my Dharma work. So I thought I'd share my experiences when I went to Chicago. Because when I go, when I'm asked to speak, I consider personally my own individual pilgrimage or retreat that I'm going on. And I receive a lot of experiences, a lot of inspiring things that help my spiritual path. If you give, you always also receive. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful Sunday. Thank you.